Chapter 13, Getting Organized. As the animals exited the main tent, the suit turned to Ms. Betty and asked,
"How about I fly you to see how well the beavers are doing?"
She turned to him with a questioning look. She responded,
"You know I'd love to, but shouldn't you save your energy to work with my guys?"
"I'll be okay,"
he said, looking as if he would like to say more. Curious, Ms. Betty asked,
"What is it?"
The suit twitched nervously and said,
"You don't want to know."
"Come on, blab your secret. I insist,"
the beaver chattered, her beady eyes inquisitive. Looking away, the eagle muttered,
"I will look bad if I share."
"Don't you worry. We are way beyond pretending to be all good."
With a little sigh, the suit confided,
"Okay then. It's about Sleeky and me. He just displayed something I have in me also, and I am not proud of it. My self-centeredness. I am so glad I discussed it with the owl and could figure out how to limit its grip on me. Last week I would have acted exactly as Sleeky. That's why I'm not feeling very good now."
"I am so disappointed,"
Ms. Betty began. Horrified, the suit exclaimed,
"But you told me."
"I am so disappointed that you didn't tell me something more exciting."
The eagle stared at her blankly, saying,
"I am confused."
"Because I'm joking,"
Ms. Betty said, rolling her eyes.
"As a mother, I can tell you firsthand that we are all born with extreme selfishness. And just as well that we are. It's necessary for our growth. Welcome to the club. Take my micromanagement, for example. In a way, it's all about me, really. Me feeling necessary, me feeling smart when adding my 2 cents here and there."
At the suit's look of surprise, she continued,
"Same for you, Shirley. Even a part of your motivation in helping us is self-centered. It makes you feel good about yourself, doesn't it?"
The eagle looked caged for a second before Ms. Betty added,
"But come on, there's so much more to you. Now you really give it all, and you lose some feathers in the process. You help far beyond satisfying your egotistical needs."
The suit seemed relieved. Ms. Betty chattered on,
"I also feel pity for Sleeky, actually. He must have grown up in a place where others around him were self-centered. It is so unfortunate. Maybe we should find him a queen cobra to open up his heart. Not that I'd like to meet her around the bush."
"Yummy thought,"
the eagle smirked. Ms. Betty chirped with laughter,
"Well, you are higher up in the food chain. By the way, have I just earned a first-class ticket with my flattery, Captain?"
"Sure, madame. Appreciated that. Thanks. Take off in 3, 2, 1, go!"
The scene they saw as they landed next to Ms. Betty's team shocked them both. All the beavers were involved in a brawl and were busily insulting each other. Pulling out her red whistle, Miss Betty blew a loud, shrill note and sharply declared,
"I'm not interested in who started this kerfuffle or whose fault it is. I'm interested in who is winning. Tell me."
A guilty silence fell. Ms. Betty continued,
"Who is losing then, and who needs to fix this? Tell me."
Ashamed, the beavers stayed mute. With her hands on her hips, their boss pressed ahead.
"I will give you some answers then. Whose fault is it? Mine. Who is winning? No one. Who is losing? All of us. Who needs to fix this? All of us. Let me start. I heard you shouting lazy, clumsy, and stupid at each other. Do you know that we only recognize in others the traits we possess ourselves? So throwing bad words at our teammates is clearly not elevating ourselves, is it? And we can do better than that. Now, let's learn from what just happened. I want to know what I did wrong that let you enter a brawl. Take 5 minutes in small groups to discuss and come up with 2 ideas at least, and then we'll share."
After a short, embarrassed silence, ideas began flying as the beavers chattered and discussed. The first conclusion was, "We need clear descriptions of our responsibilities from you." A beaver added,
"We also need to break into small teams with a supervisor for each one, and the supervisor role can rotate among us."
Ms. Betty suddenly realized she had forgotten about that organizational plan she had come up with after her conversation with the owl. She congratulated her beavers, form them into small teams and ask them to appoint the first supervisor through a lucky bamboo draw. Then she spent the next 20 minutes clarifying job responsibilities and concluded,
I am proud of you for pointing out what I forgot. We must first build a strong organization with clear responsibilities, together. Then stop making excuses or blaming others. We'll do it and we'll succeed, okay?
The Beavers nodded keenly, and Ms. Betty added,
The suit and I have to go back to a meeting, so it's your turn to change the game. We will be back. Meanwhile, enjoy your new way of working together.
As the suit lifted off with Ms. Betty, he told her,
That was amazing and almost unbelievable. Such leadership. Where did it come from?
Chuckling as she waved goodbye to her Beavers, she replied,
I haven't got a clue, but I can tell you that I have this adrenaline flow because I'm out of my comfort zone. No matter what, my Beavers, you and I, we are going to do great.
I bet we will, and sooner rather than later,
said the Eagle, gliding towards the main tent. During the break, Yin rejoined the herd, found her elephants dispirited, and was alarmed. Apart from Fantasia, who was starting to paint her second tree with more confidence, the other elephants were suddenly muttering among themselves. Yin asked them,
Hey dudes, where's your energy?
With a disgruntled flap of his ears, Jumbino answered,
Mom, yesterday we all had ideas of performances we had dreamt of before. But when we woke up today, we realized that was all crazy. We just can't do it.
Yin faced the elephants and asked,
And what is this telling me about you?
The disheartened herd remained silent.
I know that you guys are no cowards, so this is telling me that you probably forgot the powerful little fact that every journey starts with one step. You saw Fantasia paint the trunk of her tree first. What are you going to do first? Let's find out together. One idea at a time. Jumbino, since you haven't lost your voice, please share first.
Trumpeting a loud sigh, Jumbino said,
I dream of being the partner of a beautiful trapeze artist, kind of like Tarzan. But the snag is, I can't hang from a trapeze. That would collapse the circus's scaffoldings.
Yin held up her trunk to stop Jumbino's dismal outburst.
Hold it, Jumbino. What's that partnership with a beautiful trapezist all about?
It's about helping her fly around and catching her if she falls.
How romantic. I love it.
You don't need to be a trapezist yourself to do the job as a good partner.
Jumbino rolled his eyes.
Mom, female elephants don't fly from trapeze to trapeze either.
But who can?
Chimps can.
Jumbino's voice trailed off as a light dawned in his eyes.
Yes. So I will go and ask Chimp Z to find you a lovely chimp trapezist partner then. Next?
Yin called out with an encouraging smile. Fanto, a playful youngster, piped up,
Our dream is to play football. I speak for Chang and Mawal too.
Any problem?
The stage is too small.
And you can't change the stage. So what will you do then?
Fanto, Chang, and Mawal looked at each other inquisitively. Then Chang said slowly,
We can change the rules.
Mawal jumped in,
And play by our own rules on the stage as it is.
Yin nodded and praised them.
Sounds great. Now everyone, I've got to go back to the meeting, so please discuss together how to take your first steps to make your ideas happen. Think about what your idea is all about, what its purpose is. Then find out how you can tweak the idea to make it happen and chunk it into baby steps. Enjoy.
As Yin left, high energy pervaded the herd and the seated elephants jumped to their feet to brainstorm further. Yang also joined his pride at break time. He had in mind the suggestion that the lions throw a party for the audience with fun music involving the spectators, possibly even rescuing or protecting some and playing with other animals. He asked,
How's the party preparation going?
Not so well yet. We still haven't found super duper ideas. We realize we gravitated back to the ideas from our current show.
It's very good that you are all trying. I'm not very creative either. How about we invite other animals to join us and help us think differently?
Sure. The apes are funny.
Let me go get Chimp Z then.
A couple of minutes later, Yang brought in the chimpanzee and told him,
We struggled to find funny, creative ideas, but you, my friend, you define fun. So we'd like your help.
With a wide grin, Chimp Z quipped,
"No one ever told you not to trust an ape?"
The lions burst out laughing. Chimp Z continued,
"Well, I was half joking only, but you are serious, obviously. Oh yeah, to start with, you guys had better get crazy. It's like what a man smart enough to be an ape said. The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Let's improvise. I promise it will help. You're gonna invent a story together. You will each create a sentence of the story when your turn comes, and the story will build itself up just like that. I'll start, and then Yang will invent the second sentence, and then we'll go around and let the story grow, okay? If you don't know what to say, just start your sentence with "and." Then the words will come naturally to you. Now, let the fun begin. Here is the first sentence. We are a clever and crazy bunch of lions. But nobody knows yet, because we never show the things we'd really like to do.
Yang and the rest of the lions built on it.
We like music, not just military marches. Actually, we've grown bored with military marches. We prefer more lively songs.
And we prefer more lively songs because we can break free and dance to the beat.
And the beat of hip-hop, and we put our caps on and cross chains and sneakers and do crazy hip and paw and shoulder moves.
And with all that hip-hop, what's up? We battle with our bros, the infamous chimps, and it's win-win because we do different moves, all good.
And we can invite the youngsters in the public to participate and show their moves, and we rescue them if they trip.
And from slow motion at the start, we accelerate the rhythm as we go.
And we can play the drums ourselves.
And at the end of the show, we show a few easy moves to the audience. Heel toe and glide, for example, and then they all stand up and groove.
And we pump up the volume, and finally we throw our caps to them, bow, and bust off stage.
Amazed, Chimp Z screeched,
"You guys killed it! Congrats! And for sure, we'll battle with you. Let the royal battle begin. I'll have my bros find accessories for you."
He smacked Yang hard on the back in congratulation and high-fived the younger lions. His eyes gleaming with excitement, Yang said,
"Thanks to you, Chimp Z, and to everyone. That was wild. I'll ask our boss to find some drums."
The ape interrupted.
"Don't worry about the drums, bro. I'll bring in the best shit we have. Drum machine, sequencer, and a sampler."
"No idea what you're talking about, but sounds good. How about the music?"
"Same. We'll usher some cool hip-hop hits."
"Thanks. Now, Chimpsy and I have to go back to the meeting. Risa, can you please continue the creative improv? It's too good to slow down."
"Sure, let's have more fun."
She addressed the excited group as Yang and Chimp Z walked back to the main tent together.